sisters in Christ, and happy Mother's Day to all those who have this title as being a mother. It is a true honor and blessing to receive this title. And this morning's text will actually see a deeper way of how this title is a blessing, and probably look at it in a way that we may never have seen before. So why don't we jump right in to Psalm 71. If you have a Bible handy, you can join me as I read Psalm 71, and we'll be reading the first 7 verses of this psalm to see what the Lord has to say to us here this morning. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. Listen now. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are a strong refuge to the whole human race. To those who will come to you and find safety, you grant them an invitation. I pray, Holy Father, that you would open our eyes to your word and see how much you are a God who protects people. Bring us to that place where we find our need of you, so that you may be glorified by our running to you for refuge. In Jesus' name, amen. If you read the entirety of this psalm, what you'll discover, we don't know who wrote the psalm. It doesn't say of David. It is very David-like in its style and format, but we don't know for sure. It just says Psalm 71. But what you'll find throughout the whole psalm is if you read the psalm from beginning to end, the psalmist keeps bringing up this idea that God is a refuge. God is a rock. God is a fortress. In fact, my Bible, which gives a title for each psalm, titles this psalm, God, the Rock of Salvation. And the psalmist brings attention to this fact over and over and over again throughout the psalm. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Verse 1. Verse 2, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Verse 3, be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. And the end of verse 3, you are my rock and my fortress. And if you go down to verse 7, you are my strong refuge. God is a refuge. And the psalmist specifically brings up the fact that God is a source of one to provide refuge and protection from day one of his life, all the way to the end of his age, and even then behind. If you look here in the text, at day one, the psalmist recognizes God as a source of refuge. In verse 6, by you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. And then as life goes on, God is a source of refuge in the days of youth. Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth. And then verse 18, as time goes on and the youth becomes aged, verse 18 says, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Or even in verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. And God, sure enough, proves himself to be that safety and that refuge for the psalmist throughout his ages. But even beyond the final days of his life, when he sleeps the sleep of the whole earth, the psalmist recognized that even then, God will be a source of refuge. For he says here in verse 20, "You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth." So the psalmist is acknowledging that from day one of his life to day, the final day of his life, and even then beyond, to the point of the resurrection, the psalmist recognizes that God is a source of refuge. And how better a way to conclude this psalm than in verse 23, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt." It is a beautiful picture that God is going to be a source of strength, a source of refuge, a source of safety, a source of protection all throughout one's life. And I'd like to draw special attention here that this is proven in the fact of one's birth. That this is proven in the fact of one's coming into existence. That God proves himself to be a God in whom one can find refuge. One can find safety. He proves this to the human race from day one. Go back in time with me in your imagination. However old you are now, go back in time, go back in your days, go back in your years. And I'd like to draw your attention to the time when you were one day old. Yes, that first day in which you came into this world. Whereas moments before you came into the world, there were two separate entities mysteriously conjoined, and they're found to be one. Although in times past in history, the scientific advances that we don't have and are privileged to have today were not available, you know, they thought back then that they had very radical and different views as to when life begins, but because of our scientific discoveries, by the grace of God, we know now that life begins at conception. That the moment there is a new cell possessing a new genetic code, there is a new life. And there has been debate as to when the soul enters the body. Well, if you look in the Bible, the definition of a human being is a person possessing a body and a soul. And that were the soul to be removed from the body, it would no longer be a person, it would be a dead corpse. And so the fact that there is life shows the fact that there is a person, because that body possesses a soul which stirs the body on to life. And sure enough, the Bible is clear in that verse that we always refer to when talking about the atrocity of abortion, is in Psalm 51 when David says, "In sin my mother conceived me." That is to say that upon the moment of conception, David has recognized that he himself experienced the effects of sin. "In sin my mother conceived me." And so picture yourself in this state. You are now a life. You are now a person. You are now a human being. How small. How vulnerable. How helpless you are. Imagine what it would take to just destroy you. It wouldn't take much. Imagine how fragile you are. Utterly helpless. And at that point, from day one, God steps in and provides you a place of refuge. Verse 6, "You are he who took me out of my mother's womb." Did you know that from day one of your existence, the very, very first gift that God gave you is your mother. Did you know that? Certainly God gave you life through the elements of the parent, but after you became a separate new life, the very, very first thing that God gave you is your mother. And in your mother was found a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place of comfort, a place of protection. And so significant comes the verse, honor thy mother. For it was God's intention to prove himself to be a God that you could find refuge in the fact that when you were at your most vulnerable state in life, God protected you and God sheltered you. And that was through the gift of your mother. Now immediately comes to mind these cases where miscarries occur and these cases where abortions occur, and one starts to think, well, what about these individuals? These are individual people with individual lives. Did God not care about them? Did God not want to protect them? We believe that God will not hold such individuals accountable who do not have the developed capacity to comprehend the conscience, the effects of sin, and the need for salvation. And so we believe that God takes these individuals into his loving arms, into his loving presence, therefore proving that he is a place of refuge for them. And, you know, in discussions, what comes to mind is, what about these individuals in heaven? Can we really imagine there to be a place where such undeveloped individuals are there? And in a conversation recently with a brother in Christ who experienced the loss of a miscarriage, said to me, you know, I believe that people, when they enter into that state of glory, they will be in a state of being such as was known to Adam and Eve. And the Bible doesn't say so, but we do know that it'll be a place of perfection. And I find it to be reasonable, I find it to be wonderful to think that all individuals in that glorious state will be at the state of perfection, such as was the case with Adam and Eve. Does that mean that every person will be 30 years old? No, I don't think age will be a factor involved in heaven. But whatever somebody looks like and however somebody is, it seems reasonable to me to think of people as being in a state of total, glorious, wonderful perfection. So laying aside these cases of miscarriages and abortions, it is true that the very first gift God gives to you is that of your mother. How wonderful and precious to just ponder on that for some time. And like I said, it brings the significance of that command, honor thy mother. Does that mean that we must agree with them? What if my mother abandoned me? What if my mother didn't want me? I know an individual who, when they were a child, their mother left them on the doorstep of another's residence and totally abandoned them. Well, God gave them that place of refuge nonetheless to give them life. And so it is true to some extent that mother is to be honored in their heart, even if though they can never see this person face to face. It is God's choice to bring you into existence through your mother. Does that mean that you have to compromise your commitment to Christ? Absolutely not. It is your commitment to Christ that shows that you will recognize and acknowledge the decision God made to give you that gift, to give you that place of refuge. And so how appropriate it would be on the day of Mother's Day, no matter how your relationship to your mother is, to call her up and to say to her over the phone or to write her a letter or to visit in person, to say, I recognize that God chose you to be the one to bring me into this life. I recognize that you were the very first gift given to me. And so I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, and that I love you, and I am praying for you. And so God proves himself to be a God in whom we can find refuge, because he shows us, I provide refuge for you, even when you can't even comprehend it. But as you grow up, as you are born, and as time goes on, the effects of sin in this world fall upon you. And you reach that point, and you reach that stage, and you reach that age where you recognize the sinfulness of your heart, and you recognize the fact that there is a fallen, sinful world that surrounds you and has infected you, and the decisions you make, the choices you make, the places you go, and the things you do, they all stem and are tainted by this corruption that dwells in you. And you find yourself being guilty. You find yourself being condemned because you know, as the conscience tells you, that there is a right and wrong, and that for some reason you choose the wrong, and that you are bent in that direction, and that you recognize that there is a God who has created the universe, all that is in it. When you look at creation and it testifies to the work of a creator, it bears witness to the fact that there is a God. You reach a point when you realize that you are in need of shelter. You reach that point when you are in need of refuge. And the Bible says that for the human race, God extends an offer. God extends an invitation that the whole human race can come to him for refuge. And that extension and that invitation is found in the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the gift of God to the world to find refuge for their souls eternally. God proves himself once more to the human race that he is a God of protection in the fact that he entered into the world as a man, experienced the vulnerability as being born, experienced the refuge being found in a mother, and then lived this life like his fellow men, and walked one day up to a cross, knowing that being crucified to it, he would be providing the place of shelter for those who wish to be born again. In the book of John, chapter 3, this Son of God mentioned is talking to a religious man who is seeking truth. And Jesus says to this religious man in John, chapter 3, verse 3, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, this religious man, said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He just couldn't picture what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus answered in verse 5, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that is, of a woman, and unless one is born of the Spirit, that is, through the cross, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And he explains this and expands this as he goes down to verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That whoever believes in him should be sheltered. And so God proves himself. He is a God of refuge. And he offers this invitation to all who recognize that they are dead in their sins and transgressions, that they have sinned against God, that they are condemned in his sight. And they see this, and the guilt falls upon them, and they know that God is just. They know that God is just. a righteous God, a holy God, and they come before him guilty. And God says to them, I'm providing you like I did day one of your life. I'm providing you now with a place of refuge. And that place is the cross of my Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died upon it to give you life. That if you believe in him, put your trust in him, give him your all, you'll be born again. And once more on day one, you'll be provided with a place of refuge. You'll be provided with the place of shelter. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And what better a time than in our time when the whole world is looking and seeking for safety and refuge, what better time than to proclaim this message that God is an ultimate source of refuge and safety, not just from the damages of the death that may come from a disease, but also from the death that may come from a spiritual disease, from the rebellion in the human heart. What better a time to proclaim this message that God wants to give you refuge? He proved it to you already in that in day one of your life, he provided you with a mother to shelter you as you grew and you were so vulnerable. And it is proven again in the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that if you believe in him, you will be sheltered from the condemnation to come, from the effects of sin that is to come, and from the wrath that shall be poured upon the earth. God provided a refuge. So this message is very, very true for the world today. Let the world know that in God alone is found the ultimate rescue, the ultimate refuge, the ultimate protection from a greater issue than that of a very contagious and very deadly disease, but from the very source of that disease, the very source of all the evil and suffering of the world, sin itself. He wants to rescue you from that. He wants to provide you refuge for that, so that you may be born again and enter into that state of being protected by God. And as you grow up in this salvation, God will show himself more and more and more to be that source of refuge. From your youth to your old age, through all your days, God will be your strong tower in whom you may run to and be safe. By you I have been upheld from birth, the psalmist said. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. You are my strong refuge. You have taught me from my youth. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Those who find refuge in God provided through the cross of Jesus Christ are given the promise that after this life they will be resurrected to be given the last place of refuge. And that is in the glory of the kingdom of heaven that we all look forward to. That God is providing a place of refuge eternal where no sin and no suffering and no sorrow can touch us. But just like in our mother's womb, we will be forever protected. We will be forever sheltered for all of eternity. But that experience can only come when somebody recognizes they need to be born, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, and that only through the death of the Son of God. Someone may be listening to this message and have probably heard the truth that Jesus died for our sins. But I want to hammer this home. I want you to recognize something. It is not just you making certain affirmations, following certain steps, going to certain church services, reading certain passages, praying certain prayers. It is a complete transformation of your soul by being born anew. It is a complete rebirth done in your essence. And that is when you come to realize that there is nothing in you that you can do to gain this life, but you are to cast yourself at the feet of God Almighty, holy and just, perfect in righteousness. Cast yourself at his feet, seeing yourself as a guilty sinner in his sight, that you have lived a life of rebellion against him. No matter how many good things you thought you did, they all are nothing to the fact that you have a wicked heart in the sight of God, a holy God. And when you cast yourself at his feet and you ask for the mercy and the forgiveness that he has to offer to you in the cross of Jesus Christ, he will grant you this transformation. He will grant you this everlasting life. And the cross will be to you as a mother was to your physical birth. It'll be the source of your new birth and the shelter from all the damaging effects of sin. Will you come to Christ and receive this? Will you come to God and ask for this mercy and this transformation? And so that you can say, as the psalmist did so many years ago, be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Won't you come and receive the salvation? Christian, may God bless you on this Mother's Day, as you ponder and think how God has given you a wonderful gift in your mother. May you honor her in whatever way that applies to all the different people listening. And may you praise God that he always and forever will be your refuge. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the protection you've provided throughout our days. We look forward to that protection you have yet to bring to us in the eternal home in heaven. But I pray for now you would help us to realize the opportunity we have on earth to take our lips and to proclaim the wonderful salvation that is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. Help us to say like the psalmist, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. Help us, Lord, to speak of you. Let us take hold of this opportunity during this time, Father, and may you gain glory for what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.